And we're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. Nick McNamara in for Brandon Peoples today. And we're speaking with General Perry Wiggins of the Governor's Military Council. And General Wiggins, I want to talk to you a little bit about redeployment efforts at Fort Riley. And I'm just curious what the deployment situation looks like at the moment and how we're going to see things change over time as well.
Well, you know, I think it's important, especially over the holiday season. You're going to see a lot more soldiers on the ground at Fort Riley because you got the Combat Aviation Brigade that's returning. And that's great news. You know, as you travel down I-70, and a lot of people do it, they'll look over, if you're coming from the east, for example, and look over to your right, you'll see Marshall Army Airfield, and there's not many helicopters on the ramp. Well, they're coming back on ships and being offloaded, and troops are flying in, and you'll start seeing that ramp fill up, and you'll start seeing a lot more soldiers being joining their families. And this time of year is very special because they come back, they get to share Christmas and New Year's with the family, and that's special.
And what number-wise are we looking at in terms of forces returning that we're anticipating seeing here at Fort Riley?
Well, I don't have an exact number, okay, Nick, but I know it's an aviation brigade. You know, it could be up to a couple thousand. And that doesn't seem like a lot, but trust me, it's a lot. And the good news is some of these families, when their loved one's gone, they come back as well. You know, and so this is, like I said, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good infusion of individuals ready to get back on the ground, visit restaurants, go to movies and see things here in the community. And that's always a good time, not only for the military member, but for the communities as a whole. And so as we go here in December, it's going to be great to have the Combat Aviation Brigade from the 1st Infantry Division back on the ground.
Yeah, a few thousand can be a lot economically. You know, as we talk about fluctuations in numbers at K-State in the past and this year particularly, even a decrease in a few thousand can be a lot in terms of economic impact. So we can't downplay it at all.
Well, especially during the holiday season, right? Because mm-hmm. they get back and they forget they haven't bought their gifts for their loved ones. And so, you know, they got to get on their bicycles and start buying stuff. And that's a good time. And so hopefully we'll see that them out and about, and it'll be a great opportunity for them to reintegrate into the family. And it's always better when there's a holiday connected with it because it's always good food and camaraderie and family get together. So those are good times.
How about looking ahead a little bit? What do we, as people come back, what about redeployment? Are we going to be seeing any folks shipping out in the coming year? I imagine there'd be some redeployments going on.
There's always deployments. From the division. You know, the division is coming and going. It meets itself. And, you know, that's the complexity of our Army today. I tell people all the time, I have two sons that are in the Army, and both of them, you know, were in and out of the door all the time. And so it's a different Army than when I joined. We deployed, we did things. But today, these soldiers, some of these young soldiers have been deployed multiple times. It's a part of life for them, and so hopefully as we start to head into these coming years, and as we've had to draw down in Afghanistan, we'll start to see more stability in some of these units. But you know, they've always got to be ready. Specifically now, when you start looking at things like Russia amassing over 100,000 troops on the border of Ukraine, that always gives us a reminder that. You know, the American soldier stands on point for this nation against those that would like to take away our freedoms and our liberties, not only here, but across the globe.
And since you raised the topic, I think I'll just transition into that conversation regarding Ukraine and Russia and the 100,000 troops that have been reported to be, as well as heavy equipment, amassing near the border there. And I've been seeing conversations. I know there's meetings going on with Blinken and folks from Russia currently, actually, or maybe a little bit earlier today, to try to figure out some conversations about where they stand on the situation. And I'm curious what your assessment's been from your side.
Yeah, you know, for me, Russia has always been concerned about the Ukraine, primarily their association with NATO. And so they've always used intimidating tactics to try to influence the decision-making, not only for the United States, but for Ukraine itself. And so for me, as I take a look at it, and this is only my belly button, but, you know, Crimea is a little bit different than Ukraine. I see a lot of people in think tanks saying, well, you know, look what they did. But a lot of people don't realize that a lot of those former Soviet states, there was a lot of Russian-speaking individuals in those places. Same can be said for eastern Ukraine. So Russia feels connected to those people ethnically as well. But I think it would be a huge mistake for Russia to do something in the Ukraine. It's a different story than some of the Baltic states or some of the Georgia, for example, or Azerbaijan and a lot of other places where they've tried to put their fingers into. I think Ukraine is a different story, and I think it's something that Russia, ought to be careful before they decide to jump both feet into that particular piece. And that's just my opinion. You talk to a belly button out there, and it's different. But I do get concerned that they're putting there. I think their forces up there, and to me, it just shows the true face of the Soviet or Russia, no longer Soviet Union, but the fact that they want to regain that type of prestige in Europe.
Yeah, and I've seen warnings from the Biden administration that there will be economic and political ramifications if an invasion were to occur. My understanding is, as Ukraine is not a NATO member currently, there wouldn't necessarily be any type of military action on the U.S.'s part triggered by an invasion, at least unless something changes in terms of their NATO membership.
Yeah, Europe is a messy place. If you go back and take a look at World War One and World War Two, and you take a look at a little place down there called Yugoslavia, and things can happen relatively quick, and the interconnectivity of Europe now would lead me to believe it wouldn't be so clean if Russia decided to invade. What are the relationships between those neighboring countries, and what type of treaties or partnerships do they have is going to be important. But, once again, I hope for the best, but you got to be prepared for the worst. And so we as U.S. soldiers are all sitting there taking a look at this, and I'm sure there's some smarter people than I out there that are developing plans and doing things that, should it come to fruition, which we hopefully don't wish it to happen, we'll be prepared.
Yeah, as I hear about the conversation and I hear the news coming out, I constantly think about the 1st Infantry Division soldiers that are in Germany. They're very close to where this business would be going on. So is it too soon to think about the impacts to Fort Riley soldiers and Fort Riley forces?
Well, I don't. I think everybody, we as military members, at least, when I work across the nation, we're always planning. We're always prepping. We're always doing things. That's just in our nature. So I think the impact globally, if something like that was going to happen, would be significant. I don't think that the United States military or any of the divisional units would be untouched in that process. But at the same time, we're constantly doing that sort of thing and prepping and the readiness piece. I don't think it's out of the ordinary. I don't think anybody's doing anything that they aren't normally doing as a course. So, now, the formation in the 1st Infantry Division is forward, serving as a command and headquarters. I guarantee you they're busy and focusing on that like a laser beam. So I guess it's all in where you're at. And that forward element, I guarantee you, with General Cavoli, are studying it real hard and making sure that they're crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's on all the plans associated with any type of Russia activity.
9:58 News Radio KMAN, speaking to General Perry Wiggins of the Governor's Military Council. We're running out of time, but I did want to get into the National Defense Authorization Act very briefly. I know there's some misconceptions out there that you're hoping to clear up regarding that.
Well, I've been approached by a lot of individuals concerned about the passage of the NDAA, and I think they're getting confused with continuing resolution versus the National Defense Authorization Act. And all I would tell them is, I think there would be relatively little impact if the National Defense Authorization Act is not approved in 2021 and actually carries over to 2022. As a matter of fact, there's presidents for that over the past 60 years we've had one. And this, for example, the State Department has been operating without a authorization act for the past 20 years. So I think it's important to understand the difference and understand that a continuing resolution absolutely important. And I know that they're working right now diligently, the legislators are, to try to get that pushed to February, the deadline. And I think that's what it's looking like it may do. But just for the people out there, National Defense Authorization Act is a little different than a continuing resolution. And I think it's important to denote the difference.
Well, General Wiggins, appreciate the time. We're going to have to cut you off here.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to In Focus, folks. News Radio KMAN.
Ken Coleman, Dave Ramsey, Dan Patrick, The Game, Bruce Weber Show, all on the way at News Radio KMAN, Manhattan, Kansas. Keep tuned. We anticipate breaking news with the announcement of a name for the next K-State president.